beam of sunshine on that offense. And I think if you let Gesicki leave, I think you're foolish.
Well, we all talking about the same team that just fired their head coach, so
they
could do some foolish.
I mean, do some foolish stuff.
I
understand all that, and you know, and like I said, I wasn't making excuses for the Dolphins firing him when I came in with that news. I was just giving a little insight as to supposedly what was going on, which led to it and everything and all that. Now, I still don't think it was the right move. I think that there should have been a conversation or something to see if they can rectify these problems instead of letting a head coach go. Because do you know what this kind of reminds me of? When the Cleveland Browns fired a defensive coach because he didn't get along with the front office. He was a defensive-minded head coach. And he was head coach for the Cleveland Browns. Do you know who that coach was?
Who?
Bill Belichick.
Oh, really?
Yes. Now, sit and think about that for a minute. Belichick went on to go to another organization who, I'm not saying they gave him everything he wanted, but they commute, but they found a way to communicate and to work with him. And look what happened.
Yeah.
Seven Super Bowls.
Yeah.
Seven. Think about this for a minute, Debo. You're saying, yeah. And now, pretty much the exact same thing just happened in Miami. Miami very well could have lost, possibly could be another great head coach in the NFL. And what is Miami going to think if Brian Flores goes somewhere and he starts winning Super Bowls?
Oh, don't worry about it. He will. He will. You know he will.
Think about that for a minute. This situation in Miami is atrocious.
Yeah.
Instead of finding a way to communicate, to build a bridge, to get stuff done, you just fire him. You fired him because you didn't like the way that he conducted business. Well, if you didn't like the way he conducted business, then that's when you take him and you set him down and you're like, hey, we got to figure out how to make this work. Not, oh, well, he's not doing what we like, so let's fire him.
Yeah, he's not a puppet. Do you know what they do? Is that what they want?
He's not a yes man.
They want a yes man as their head coach.
And Greer, Mr. Greer, general manager of the Dolphins, you throwing him under the bus like that? That is uncool. You worked with this man since the New England Patriots. You knew exactly how he was. Quit acting like you were surprised.
Yeah.
Miami, y'all screwed up. Y'all screwed up so bad. And I'm going to tell you this right now. You better hope that your next head coaching hire is a splash. And I mean a splash.
It won't be.
I don't. I'm not talking no coordinator. Do not go after no coordinators, because that's what y'all just did.
It won't be.
Honestly, there is only one name right now that they could get him. If they could get him to come and be the head coach, I'd be like, you know what? All right. And that's Jim Harbaugh.
Yeah, I don't think.
Well, Ross has already come out and said he's not going to be the guy to take Harbaugh away from Michigan, because Ross is a Michigan alumni. He's on the board of trustees, blah, 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 blah. If I was Ross, I would have made that statement. Because right now, man, you are not going to be able to hire that head coach that is going to make Dolphin fans go, okay, we can get over you firing Flores. I mean, I guess he could go and ask Bill Cowher, but Bill Cowher would probably tell him to take the job and shove it. That they had a perfectly good head coach. Miami, y'all screwed up. Y'all screwed up royally. And now, you all are back to square one again.
Yep.
Now what?
Yep. So we'll see, man. We all were scratching our heads.
When it came across the ticker tape on the NFL Network and they announced it, I was in the kitchen and I had to walk into the room and rewind live TV to make sure I heard that right. That just stupidity, man. And I'll tell you what, this is coming from, again, my friend who's a season ticket holder. She's already said that she can't sell her home tickets, her game tickets, when she can attend.
Hey.
And this is when they were actually starting to get good. What do you think it's going to be like now?
Well, it's going to be worse. And, you know, I'm not one to, you know, always throw the and listen, this ain't, you know me. I'm not one to throw around the race card, because I don't think this situation here is about that. More or less, it's about the team itself just not being a good organization.
They're not a good organization because their owner doesn't know football. To be honest with you, do you know who the happiest owner in the entire NFL is right now?
Hold on. Happiest owner in the NFL.
Yes, right now.
Happiest owner. It's got to be a bad owner.
Yeah.
Hold on. You're gonna have to help me out on this one because it could be a bunch. It's easy.
It's Dan Snyder because we found somebody that's even more of a screw up as an owner than he is.
I would agree with that.
By the way, that was for you, Boss Hog. Hope you're listening.
Oh yeah, you know my man, Boss Hog. He's listening.
But no, seriously.
But you make a good point, though.
Two of the worst owners in the NFL right now is Stephen Ross of the Miami Dolphins and Dan Snyder of the Washington Philly Dance.
Hold on, what did you say? The Washington what?
The Washington Lily Nannies.
Lily Nannies?
Man, go watch you some Family Guy and come back and talk to me.
Bro, I don't watch Family Guy, man.
Well, that's part of your problem right there.
Maybe, but I don't watch Family Guy, so. I've never watched Family Guy.
The Lily Nannies was the team in England that Peter Griffin played for.
Oh, okay.
Well, I mean, you guys told me to cut out the Red Wolves talk and everything like that. So I moved on to the Lily Nannies.
So hold up. Man, what is going on? All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a quick break. Then when we get back on the other side, we'll jump into some other conversation here. We are going to be having Boss Hog, Sean Naylor, calling in a bit, probably in the next 5 or 10 minutes or so. But we're going to take a break. Come back on the other side and continue this show here on the Rat Pack Sports Show. We'll be back.
There's nothing they can do to make it stop. They only have one choice.
Pack Sports Show. We are back. We are live. Rat Pack Radio WRPR. Also on the Rat Pack Radio WRPR app. You can also find us for you Apple users on the Radio Guide app as well. You download that. Just do a search for WRPR Rat Pack Radio and you will be able to you know, find us on there as well because, as I said, the iPhone store is acting a little funny towards the developers when you develop an app with Google, you know, once you do your development, you pay to have it developed, and then you put it on the store. Well, Apple doesn't work like that, and they want you to pay another fee to put your app on their store. So I'm not doing that. So I shouldn't have to pay twice, and it was working before, and then they changed something, and now it has to be this way in order to get your app on their store when before it was already on there. So forget them. We got other means to get our app or our show out there. But we are here. We should have Boss Hogg here in a little bit. I got my man, Mr. William Graves, on the line with us. And we've been talking a lot of NFL tonight. And sometimes it goes like that. Not much as far as like games. You do have the Bulls and the Brooklyn Nets playing right now. And since the Brooklyn Nets are on the road, Kyrie Irving is in uniform, and for the first time this season, you have the big three of Brooklyn all together. I think this might be a second game, but I'm not sure. But yeah. So, Bulls are currently up 18-14. It's early in the first. Chicago Bulls, we know we spoke of this with Nicholas Lane earlier before the season when we saw the moves that the Bulls made in the offseason to improve their roster. And also to bring in a head coach like Billy Donovan, who was very successful in OKC. OKC just wanted to go into a different direction, and that's okay. You know, if you're successful, I mean, they weren't winning nothing. This is not a Miami Dolphins situation. It's just not one of those situations. So we're not gonna go crazy. Mr. William Graves.
Yes, sir.
So what was the article that I saw you post a link in the chat room.
Which one?
The second one.
Oh, about the Dolphins job not being the premier job?
Yeah.
Well, so, it's pretty much saying what we've been saying all along. Okay. The Dolphins front office is in shambles, okay? And it starts with Stephen Ross. He is the owner. He knows a little bit about football, okay? I'll give him that. But he's not a football guy. And the thing is that He always wants to keep his buddies around and everything, and he wants to fire the good people. And it's going to be one of those things where I hate to say this, but until Steven Ross steps down as owner of the Dolphins, you guys aren't going to be a contender.
I would agree with you on that.
I mean, you know, I mean, that's just pretty much what the article is saying, that, you know, that it's not an ideal situation.
Yeah.
Because now the stigma is, well, even if you're doing a good job and you don't kiss the foot, we'll say foot, keep it PG-13 here, or keep it PG anyway. If you don't kiss the foot of the front office, you're out, regardless of how good you're doing. So what's gonna make anybody want to go to Miami?
You're gonna have to sell it. You're gonna have to overpay for them.
Overpay for them?
Oh yeah, you're gonna have to overpay.
I don't even think you're gonna get it then.
You could be right. I'm just going out on the limb. You know,
well, I mean, so here, let's do this, Debo, because we haven't done this yet.
Yeah.
Let's just take a look at the people that are out there that are being thrown around, the names being thrown around,
mm-hmm,
for head coaching spots. Mm-hmm. We'll go with the most obvious one. Eric Bieniemy from the Kansas City Chiefs.
That would be a bad situation for him for his very first you know, head coaching gig. That wouldn't be something that I would be jumping for joy to do if I'm him.
Okay, so let's throw another name out there.
Mm-hmm.
Kellen Moore, offensive coordinator, Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah, another
young
one.
Guy, bright offensive mind.
Yeah,
but is he a fit? And I will say yes and no. And I will tell you why I say yes and no. He's an offensive guy. He's played the position, okay, in both college and in the pros.
Yeah.
He's done great with Dak Prescott.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he has.
If you are going to want somebody to come in and work with your golden boy, Tua, that is not a bad fit. The other reason it's not a bad fit is because, the other reason why it is a good fit is because he's a younger guy. He's not going to really push the envelope that much to really, I guess, ruffle the feathers of the front office. Now, the reason why it's not a good fit, you are getting a young guy that this is his first head coaching gig. You are going to want a turnaround quick. I'm talking like, he is pretty much going to have to come out of the gate and be a 500 team next year.
Yeah.
At least. I don't know that he can do that. Way too much pressure for a younger first-time head coach. Now, let's look up to the Buffalo Bills. both of their coordinators, Leslie Frazier and Greg Roman. Those are two guys that, you know what? I mean, it could work, but which way are you going to – it's obvious which way they want to go with their next head coach, and that's offense. So do you really even look at Leslie Frazier? If you look at Greg Roman, it wouldn't be a bad fit. And the reason why it wouldn't be a bad fit, his work with Josh Allen, he's been around the league, he knows what he's doing. He's been a part of wasn't he a part of that San Francisco Super Bowl team?
With
Jim Harbaugh?
Who, Frazier? Oh no, not no, Frazier.
Greg Roman.
Yeah, he was the offensive coordinator over there.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure.
Okay. And he worked with Colin Kaepernick.
Yeah.
Okay, Colin Kaepernick, if you look, not exactly the same as Tua, but, I mean, you could see some similarities in their play. Wouldn't be a bad fit. His work with Josh Allen. Josh Allen, I mean, he was already a good quarterback when he came in. Over the last couple of years, he's kind of built that up. Now, yeah. Moving on to two people that me and you know very well. Byron Leftwich and Todd Bowles. Your opinion. Either one of them good for the Miami job?
Nah. Nah, listen. Miami is like the Jets. Okay, folks? And
No. The Jets actually have ownership that has some competency.
Man, you giving the Jets a little bit too much. I don't think the Jets...
Okay. Let me rephrase that. They got more competency than the Dolphins. A little bit more.
It ain't a whole lot. Yeah, it ain't a whole lot. But they do have. Oh, you know what? That's right, folks. I just remember Boss Hogg has a basketball game he's announcing tonight. So
yes.
He won't be in. I forget about that. Maybe we should crash in. We won't do it. He won't know we're listening anyway, but yeah, so Boss Hall won't be in. I just remember that. I don't know why or how I remembered it, but yeah, Boss Hall won't be on with us tonight, so it's just going to be me and William. We'll continue to talk. Again, we're talking a lot of, NBA. And, I mean, not NBA, but NFL. And there's a lot happening. So we're going to just stay on the – we're just going to stay on the topic and, keep it going that way.
Well, while we're staying on the topic, there was another article that I posted up in the chat group. About imagine if this happened. Do you think Stephen Ross would be desperate enough to approach Nick Saban about returning to the Dolphins?
No.
And if he did, and Nick Saban was hired as the Dolphins' next head coach, what backlash would you see from the fans?
I think
because remember, Saban walked out on the Dolphins halfway through the season.
And that is why I'm saying no, because you can't bring that guy back. When he left, his intention was not to return to the NFL. His intention was to go back to college because that's where Nick Saban has more control. So
that's where he thrives at.
Yeah, that's where he thrives at. So for me, you know, I think it's a good conversation. It's a good, you know, people gonna, you know, start, you know, rumors and stuff. But I just don't see, you know, Saban going.
But could Saban even be, is Saban even interested? This is what I'm trying to get at.
Mm-hmm.
Saban already broke Bear Bryant's, or tied Bear Bryant's national championship title thing at 7. Now, is he content with that? Is he content at 7? And could that award of winning a Super Bowl, being one of the few coaches to do it, and as far as I know, there's only been two coaches to do it, and that's Jimmy Johnson and Pete Carroll to win both a Super Bowl and a national title. Jim Harbaugh, no, I don't know. He never did win the national championship at Stanford. Do you think he would even be just a little bit interested?
No, I just don't. I just don't see it personally because of, you know, the way everything went down before when he was there. I just don't see it. Could it happen? Yeah, you know, it could, and it'll be a, you know, good story. But I just don't see it. I mean, he failed miserably. He failed miserably. You know, so that's just my deal there. You know, he failed. So I just don't see him going back. To the NFL. It's a good story, but
my thing is that, and I said this just a little bit ago, there's not really any hire aside from Jim Harbaugh where you could be like, all right. Because, I mean, yeah, you could throw out the Greg Romans. You could throw out the Eric Bieniemies, okay? But at the end of the day, unless something shocking happens, you really don't have that available. You really don't have that available head coaching candidate. Now, I will go down the rabbit hole for just a second. And the reason why I'll do this is because of some reports earlier this season. And I'm going to throw one name out there to you that has not been mentioned not once. But I want you to think about it for a second. Sean Payton.
Mm-hmm.
Think about that for just a second. Now, your thoughts.
I don't know. I don't see him. I think New Orleans is it for him, man. Unless New Orleans decide they want to fire him. I just feel like that is it. Like, that's, you know, he's not, you know, going anywhere else. He's, well, you know, they love him in New Orleans.
Well, I mean, he has been linked to the Chicago Bears job.
Yeah, linked by who, though? You know, that's the thing.
Just different talking heads?
That's the thing, though, man. You know, you know, you just, talking heads can say a whole lot of stuff.
Yeah, but the thing is that unless they picked up on something and all that, why would they even throw his name out there? So there has to be some sliver of information somewhere that Sean Payton is not content in New Orleans, which I don't know why he wouldn't be, but here we are.
Yeah.
Yeah, he has a big question mark on that quarterback situation. But if they re-sign Jameis Winston, all of a sudden that question mark goes away.
Mm-hmm.
And now you got your quarterback set up, and now you go and you continue to build around that quarterback to make him successful. And what Jameis needs to be successful is a running game and receivers that can go out and catch the ball. Well, they already got the running game because you already have Ingram that just came back, and you have Alvin Kamara.
Yeah.
So there's your running game. Now, if you look at your receiving game, yeah, your receiving game needs some help because you can't keep relying on Michael Thomas. Because let's face it, Michael Thomas is not a number one receiver. Saints fans, I don't care if you get mad at me or not.
Well, Thomas has been out. He's been out injured, so we don't know. We don't know what he is going to look like. When he finally returns to the NFL, to the NFL. Now he doesn't have Breeze anymore, so that makes a difference, folks, between him being good and him being dominant. So, you know, we'll see, man. We'll see what they do. They may end up trading them before the season next season. You may see a trade happen where they just cut their losses, with him.
Well, before we move on, I got one other name to throw out to you, and you tell me what your thoughts are.
Mm-hmm.
Derek Jones.
Long as I get enough money to eat, I'm good.
You would really take that job?
Hey, all he's gonna do is fire me after a couple bad games or so. I'd be no different than everybody else, right?
Well, I mean, yeah, pretty much. You know, that's one thing that I've really seriously wanted to ask you about. You know, you you never did play pro, but you did play college. And it's obvious that you enjoy coaching and everything and all that. And I know there's a lot that goes into becoming, I guess you would say, certified to be a head coach in the NFL. Because I know there's a whole bunch of tests that you got to take and stuff like that. Have you ever considered, like, just taking the test just to see, or is that just something that you really haven't even really thought about?
Yeah, I never thought about it. Just being, you know, honest, I ain't never thought about it because I didn't never think, you know, of coaching that far up the ladder. You know what I'm saying? You know, I've thought of coaching, but it was more of, okay, this is where I'm at now. So I never really got, you know, into the conversation of, you know, doing anything bigger than that. You know?
Okay. Well, you know, I mean, you just seem to, you seem to have that aura about you where you have that, I guess you would call it that Tony Dungy type coach, like coaching, I guess you could say that type of coaching feel to you where I don't know that you really yell or get overexcited and stuff like that. You just seem like you're a pretty down low, like, talker and everything like that, where you know when to be stern and you know when to get your point across. And, you know, and I don't know that there's a lot of coaches out there that do that. I mean, you know, you got, of course, Brian Flores, that I think is like that. Of course, Bill Belichick, that's still in the NFL. But really, aside from that, there's not really those type of coaches. And I think that's something that the league's missing.
You know, one thing that I liked about Flores was he wasn't afraid to speak, you know, speak up. One thing that he did, and I really, you know, gained a lot of respect for him for doing it, was last season he did not last season. It was a couple years ago when, you know, all of that stuff went on with you know, the whole George Floyd and the social justice movement that started because of that. And
yeah,
you know,
yeah, I know what you're talking about.
All the promotion and things like that the league you know, was doing and everything, and Flores pretty much came out and said, listen, if you're gonna be serious about it and make a change, then do that, but we're not gonna be, you know, a part of your political dog and pony show. My man, my team, we will be all, I can't remember if he said we will be all in the locker room or something, but they, as a team, he backed them, he spoke up, and they all decided as a team that they wasn't gonna be a part of the NFL, you know, pretty much I'm not gonna say forcing these teams to show they, you know, solidarity towards the cause, but you know, he didn't want no part of it, and no other coach in the league spoke up to that. And for me, being a person of, you know, what I you know believe, I appreciated that, because that showed me that not everybody was wants to be a part of some political theater. You know what I'm saying? So, and the team rallied behind him, and they did well that season as well. And, you know, I've always respected that for him, because no other coach, you know, came out, even though there's probably some that did feel, you know, that way about the whole thing. None of them said nothing, and Flores spoke out. And, you know, that was commendable for him, because you really didn't see that from, you know, anybody else.
Well, you know, so let me first off say that I am all for the fight against racism. I would like to think, Derek, that me and you are friends and everything, and you know, and I have you know, several other friends that are black. And you know, there's not a racist bone in my body.
You can't
and
say
when
it,
I do see race,
you can't say it like that, bro.
Sure, I can, because I just did.
You know what they say
when you mention
it like that. They say, oh, well, if you say it like that, then you must be one of them people. You know, hey, it's the same old saying.
Oh, okay. Here, let me rephrase that. I have friends that are a photo negative of me. How is that? Is that okay?
I think that might be a little bit better.
are you politically woke people? Are you guys okay now? Do y'all need to go find your safe space? Nah, screw that. Okay. You and several of my other friends, you guys are a different color than I am. Because technically you guys aren't black, you guys are brown. Whatever.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter.
That's why I identify as.
Okay. Oh, man, look.
All right, cool. Go ahead.
Okay, so I am completely against racism. Always have been, always will be. But the thing is that when you start politicizing a social thing to make it fit your agenda, and then you start parading people around, like Brian Flores said in a dog and pony show. Do you know what? That's where I had the problem with it. Instead of parading it around and talking about everything that you're going to do, why don't you just go out and do it? You want to talk about people that get profiled by cops. It does happen. I'm not saying it doesn't. But instead of making a million-dollar commercial about it, why don't you put that $1 million to work on something that is actually going to help instead of a commercial on TV? NFL wants to do this whole thing. Oh, hey, look at me. Look at what I'm doing. Great. You made a couple of commercials, but couldn't that money have been used elsewhere? You want to talk about the fight for social justice. You want to talk about the fight for racism. I am all for that fight. But I don't have to go around standing on a soapbox and spending money where it doesn't need to be spent when it could be used better elsewhere. It doesn't take anything to peacefully protest. Let me rephrase that. Let me repeat that again. Peacefully protest. Peacefully protest means you don't walk around and you don't burn a city down just because something happened that you don't agree with. You go back to the drawing board to make it better. So NFL wants to talk about the race card and how the race card is played. Okay, let's talk about it. But while we're talking about it, why don't you all actually go out and do something?
Hey, you won't get nothing from me, bro. I agree with everything you saying. So you ain't going to get nothing from me out of that.
Okay, well, I'll get off my soapbox now.
I guess you had a little bit of something on your chest, huh?
No, I just.
I guess you had a little bit of something on your chest. See, I didn't know. Ladies and gentlemen, I didn't know Mr. William Grace had this on his mind. We didn't plan for this. I wasn't even expecting nothing. But my man, as I say, this show is unscripted, folks. So we get what we get. And
we don't have time to sit down and write the script.
No, we don't.
We got other things to do.
We don't. So that is. Oh, man, that is ugly.
So moving right along, Debo, let me ask you something.
Yeah.
Out of the open NFL jobs right now, which ones are the most desirable?
Let's see.
Or let me ask you this: which do you think is the best job?
I'm gonna say the Raiders. I mean, technically, that job is still open. You know,
right.
So if I had one to pick, it would be the Raiders situation. But I do like. I do like. What is the head coach? The interim head coach. Jeez, why I can't remember this guy. He was a Buccaneers special teams.
Basacki.
Basaccio. He was a special team coach here in Tampa Bay for about 10 years, folks. One of the best special teams.
He was under Gruden, right?
He was under Gruden, and I think he made it all the way till. Yeah, he was under Gruden. He came with Gruden, and he did he? I think he might have been here. Maybe he left when Gruden left. That could be the case too. So, but he was, you know, always been one of the, you know, better special teams coordinators in the league.
You know.